This is Carol Foster of 2 Timothy 2:15 Resources, and I am so excited that you're going to join me today as we study God's Word. The response new Messianic believers give when asked why they initially visited a Messianic congregation is, "We knew there had to be more." As we study together, we will begin to see that yes, indeed, there has to be more. For additional study aids to assist you in studying along with us, go to our website, sectim.org. In our last session together, we began our study of the name of Jehovah, our Shalom. We researched why the Midianites were attacking the people and the land of Israel. We found that it was because of the disobedience of God's people. They had mingled with the Midianites and had even adopted their foreign gods. But when the men of Israel began to bring the women of Midian and their idols into their own camp and tents, God became angry, very angry. I want to read this passage as it will again refresh our memories of what had occurred. We can find this in Bamidbar, Numbers chapter 25, verses 1 through 9. While Israel remained in Shittim, the people began to play the harlot with the daughters of Moab, for they invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel joined themselves to Baal of Peor, and the Lord was angry against Israel. The Lord said to Moses, "Take all the leaders of the people and execute them in broad daylight before the Lord, so that the fierce anger of the Lord may turn away from Israel." So Moses said to the judges of Israel, "Each of you slay his men who have joined themselves to Baal of Peor." Then behold, one of the sons of Israel came and brought to his relatives a Midianite woman. In the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregations of the sons of Israel, while they were weeping at the doorway of the tent of meeting. When Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he arose from the midst of the congregation and took a spear in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and pierced both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through the body. So the plague on the sons of Israel was checked. Those who died by the plague were 24,000. The people of Israel had committed a horrendous sin. They had brought foreign idols into the camp of God, and they had joined themselves with the people who worshipped them. This was to be their downfall. It brought about a plague, or the death, of 24,000 people. We also read in Bamidbar 25, verses 16 and 18, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Be hostile to the Midianites, and strike them, for they have been hostile to you, and their tricks, with which they have deceived you in the affair of Peor, and in the affair of Cozbi, the daughter of the leader of Midian, their sister who was slain on the day of the plague because of Peor.'" Moshe was told by the Lord that he was to be hostile to the Midianites and to strike them down. We can see that Jehovah continued to be angry and vengeful against the Midianites for their idolatry and leading his people astray. We read this in Bamidbar chapter 31, verses 1 and 2. "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Take full vengeance for the sons of Israel on the Midianites. Afterward you will be gathered to your people.' Moses spoke to the people, saying, 'Arm men from among you for the war, that they may go against Midian to execute the Lord's vengeance on Midian.'" Israel did not kill all the Midianites as they were instructed. So the Midianites grew strong and continued to assault the people of God. This is the situation that we discovered Gideon to be in. In Judges chapter 6, verses 11 through 17, we read, "Then the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abrazite, as his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress in order to save it from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior.' Then Gideon said to him, O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. The Lord looked at him and said, Go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you? He said to him, O Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's house. But the Lord said to him, Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man. So Gideon said to him, If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who speak to me. We then read that Gideon requested that the angel not leave until he, Gideon, had brought an offering to him. Gideon prepared an offering. The angel of the Lord touched it with his staff, and immediately it burst into flames and was consumed. Then the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight. We read in verses 22 through 24, When Gideon saw that he was the angel of the Lord, he said, Alas, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. The Lord said to him, Peace to you, do not fear, you shall not die. Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and named it, The Lord is Peace. To this day it is still in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. Gideon rightly named the altar, The Lord is Peace, or Shalom. True peace, Shalom, God's Shalom, cannot be found in any other place than in a right relationship with God. I want to use another tool of our study tools to check for other references to Shalom and see what we can learn about peace and its relationship to God. I use an online resource, which, by the way, is available as a free download from the web. It is called eSword and can be found at esword.net. They do suggest a $5 donation, but it is well worth it. This application allows you to search multiple resources, has many different Bible translations, as well as Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, Webster's Dictionary, commentaries, and it has the ability to do cross-reference searches. It also allows you to identify the original word used in the text, whether it be Hebrew or Greek, and it gives you a clear and concise definition. And to top it all off, you can copy and paste any of this information into your personal notes and store it on your own computer. I am really thankful, especially for that, as it helped me get an A in several of my Bible college courses. Yay, computer power! Okay, back on task. The first cross-reference that I want us to look at is Leviticus, or Vayikra, chapter 22, verses 2 through 6. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments so as to carry them out, then I shall give you the rains in their seasons, so that the land will yield its produce, and the trees of the field will bear their fruit. Indeed, your threshing will last for you until grape gathering, and the grape gathering will last until sowing time. You will thus eat your food to the full and live securely in your land. I shall also grant peace in the land, so that you may lie down and no one making you tremble. I shall also eliminate harmful beasts from the land, and no sword will pass through your land. Jehovah's instructions to us is first of all that we keep his Shabbats or Sabbaths. Did you notice that it read, My Shabbats? Not something that man had thought of or had decided to do. It was the Lord himself that instituted the Shabbat. If God were to tell you face to face that he wants you to set aside a specific day to come into his presence and worship him, would you do it? Well, guess what? He did just that. He also said that we were to reverence his sanctuary. That tells us that wherever we meet to worship Him, wherever He dwells, is His sanctuary, and that we are to reverence it. Our friend Webster defines reverence as fear mingled with respect and esteem, veneration, the fear acceptable to God, an awful reverence of the divine nature, proceeding from a just esteem of His perfections, which produces in us an inclination to His service and an unwillingness to offend Him. It differs from awe, which is an emotion compounded of fear, dread, or terror, with admiration of something great. We next read that not only were we to keep His Shabbats, but they were also to walk in His statutes and to keep His commandments. Again, I want to make sure that we understand what His statutes are. We don't normally hear much about them unless you're a Messianic believer. So again, let's go back to our friend Webster and see how he defines statutes. Statutes, an act of the legislature of a state that extends its binding force to all the citizens or subjects of that state, as distinguished from an act which extends only to an individual or a company. An act of the legislature commanding or prohibiting something, a positive law. Statutes are distinguished from common law. The latter owes its binding force to the principles of justice, to long use, and the constant of a nation. The former owes their binding force to a positive command or declaration of the supreme power. It's a special act of the supreme power. This is a positive command or declaration from the supreme power of the universe, commanding or prohibiting us from doing something. It extends its binding force to all citizens or subjects of that state. Okay, so here is where this is going. If we are citizens of God's kingdom and we are His subjects, then His statutes apply to us. I can't find anywhere in His word that says otherwise, or infers that it no longer applies in our world today. Let's see if we can find confirmation that we are to keep His commandments and statutes today. We all know that verse in Ezekiel 36, verses 24 through 27, that we love to quote so much. For I will take you from the nations, gather you from all the lands, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. We can readily quote the part that says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove your heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. But we stop right there. We don't go on to the next verse. We're taking things out of context when we do that. Verse 27 tells us why He did this. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. I'm going to read that last part again. We need to see it clearly. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. How many of us have spent years of our lives knowing the first two verses and never really reading the last verse? I know that I spent years of study, both on my own and in Bible college, reading, studying, and memorizing the Word. But somehow I had never seen the last part of the discourse from our God. I don't think that I have ever heard this verse preached or taught in all my years, until I came into the Messianic and finally understood that all of God's Word is applicable for believers today. Let's look at some more of our results of cross-referencing. In Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 14, we read, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from where I sent you into exile. His plans for us are for good and not calamity. They are for a future and a hope. We are to call upon him and come and pray to him, and he will listen. If we seek him with all our heart, he will be found by us. He will restore us. If we want to seek him with all our heart, part of that search should include how he wants us to worship him and how he wants us to live our lives. He gives us these instructions in his Torah and his statutes." Isaiah 48, verses 17 through 18 states, "Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way you should go. If only you had paid attention to my commandments, then your well-being would have been like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea." Isaiah 26, verses 2 through 3 tells us, "Open the gates that the righteous nation may enter. The one that remains faithful, the steadfast of mind, you will keep in perfect peace, because he trusts in you." Are we acting and living in righteousness, in right standing before Jehovah? The mind that is steadfast in their trust in Jehovah will be kept in perfect shalom. Psalms 119, 165 tells us, "Those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. I hope for your salvation, O Lord, and do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you." That should be the cry of every believer's heart. His commandments, his instructions, his testimonies, and his precepts will bring us peace. Not just any peace, but great peace. It will bring us the shalom that the world cannot offer. It is the shalom that carries in and through all of the circumstances of our lives and will never leave or forsake us. Next, I want to continue our cross-referencing to the Brit Hadashah, or the New Testament. John 14, verse 5 tells us, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Now, this is Yeshua himself speaking these words. Again, in John 14, this time in verse 21, again, this is the Messiah speaking. "He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him." In John 15, verse 10, we read, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." 2 Kefa, or Peter, chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 reads, "This is now, my beloved, the second letter I am writing to you, in which I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder, that you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles." 1 John 3, verses 3 through 6, "By this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. The one who says, 'I have come to know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. 1 John 5, verses 2 and 3. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. And finally, in 2 John verse 6, and this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. Okay, so we have determined that his statutes and commandments applied during the time of Yeshua and the apostles. But how about now or in the future? Well, guess what? We see that keeping his statutes and commandments will apply to the very end. Let's look at what we find in the book of the Revelation. Revelation 14:12 says, here is the perseverance of the saints who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. Or the saint who will persevere will be those who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Yeshua. Not one or the other, but both the commandments and their faith in Yeshua. And again in Revelation 12, verse 17, it says, so the dragon was enraged with a woman and went off to make war with the rest of her children, who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. If you study John's revelation, you know that the dragon is Hasatan, and the woman that he was enraged with is Israel. The children that John speaks about are those who have been grafted into the commonwealth of Israel. Remember the one new man of Ephesians 2, verses 14 through 16? For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross by putting to death the enmity. We all need and want God's shalom in our lives, the peace, rest, well-being, and health that only our Yehovah, the God who is our peace, can only bring. Another passage, Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, tells us that we are to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all man. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Then in Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. We usually are wanting it for the present. But did you know that we should also be looking for the shalom that will be for eternity? Beloved Talmudim of Yehovah Yeshalom, we have a mighty promise given to us in Isaiah 9:6. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of his peace. Did you hear that? His name will be called Prince of Shalom, and there will be no end to the increase of his government or his shalom. If there is to be no end to his shalom, his peace, then, beloved, it is here for us today, and it will never end. Next time we're together, I want us to look at what the Word says about our eternal shalom. Thank you for joining us today as we delve into the beautiful truths of God's Word to indeed discover that there has to be more. I pray that the Word applied to your daily life will bring a deeper understanding of His love letter written just to you. Let me remind you that we have additional study aids to assist you with our studies together on our website. It's secTIM.org. May this day fill you with the love of God, joy, and shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken in your life.